I couldn't sit up by myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. But she was afraid I was going to fly off this table because I was jerking so bad. For lack of better words, I was having a seizure.
And I said, Lord, I've got to know. Is Nikki going to die?
It was scary. That doc came in, did everything he needed to do as the jerking got worse and went on for over an hour.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go, so we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. So open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
One day, I had gone to the clinic on a regular day, go there, get your IVs, get shots, get whatever. And I had started, when I got out of the sauna, I started jerking a little bit. It's kind of weird, you know? I didn't have any energy to jerk, but I was involuntarily jerking. Then when I was laying down, my body was jerking. Then it started jerking so bad that Mom wouldn't leave the side of the hospital table that I was on. She was afraid I was going to fly off of it. I couldn't sit up by myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. But she was afraid I was going to fly off this table because I was jerking so bad. For lack of better words, I was having a seizure.
And I said, Lord, I've got to know. Is Nikki going to die?
It was scary. That doctor came in, did everything he knew to do as the jerking got worse and went on for over an hour. And he said, Nikki, you just got to try to breathe and relax. Well, my diaphragm was even jerking. And so, how do you breathe when your diaphragm is jerking? So he leaves the room and we start praying. That's what you do when something happens. You pray. Mom calls Pastor on the phone and is praying. And I run up to God and I said, God, I hate this. I absolutely hate this. I don't want to be here. I'd gotten very good at mind games. When your body hurts all the time and you're tired, you can just close your eyes and just tune out your body. You know, not in a bad way, just tune it out. I was good at mind games, but that day I didn't have to play a mind game. I said, God, I hate this. This is the worst moment of my life. The demon voices that have been screaming for 5 years telling me, why are you doing this? Do you need attention that bad? Are screaming at me. My body is freaking out worse than I've ever seen, and my mom is scared. I can tell my mom is scared. You have to do something, God.
I also have experienced the personal war of faith. You know, Nikki talked about fighting the good fight of faith.
Most people don't realize it when it's the worst moment of their life, but I knew it. I knew it was. I said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. You have to do something. He was always faithful to me, but I said, buddy, you got to do something now. I can't deal with this. My eyes were closed, and I saw Jesus walk up to me. It was not a visitation. It was not a vision. It was not a sighting. It was Jesus walking up to me. And he walked up to me. And I was like, okay, this is normal. This is my friend. Even though I'd never seen him before. He walked up to me and he showed me his hands. I saw the holes in his hands. And he flipped them over and he showed me on the other side the holes. And there was still blood in the holes of his hands. I said later, why was there blood in your hands? And he said, it's to show Satan, because that's the payment. That's the payment for everything. And then he turned around and he lifted up his tunic and he showed me his back. And there are, you know, it says, by his stripes we were healed. They're not stripes. I don't know who wrote that, but they misrepresented what was on Jesus' back. They're gashes. They're about this wide and they're very deep. You don't mend from something like that. They scar over a little bit, but they were all over. He was brutalized. He was tortured to death. And then this was the kicker for me. He turned around and he leaned in real close to me. And one cheekbone was higher than the other. And there was so much scar tissue around his eyes from the beating that you could barely see his eyes, but you could see him. Because the word says he was beaten beyond recognition. How are you recognized but by your face? I had never thought of that. I've known God almost my whole life, and I had never thought when you get to heaven, yeah, you're going to see the hand, the scars on his hands and on his back and everything, but never about his face. And it broke my heart because my best friend was standing in front of me saying, I did this for you because I loved you. He didn't stand in front of me and show me all that to say, why aren't you trusting me? Why are you flipping out right now? He stood in front of me and showed me all that to say, look what I did. It's done, Nikki. You're going to be healed. I've already paid for it. All he said to me was, I love you. And I said, I love you too.
We heard that Andrew Womack was coming to our church, and I had seen him about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, at another church fellowship, and had heard him on the radio, and I thought, this will be great.
My mom told me there was a man named Andrew Womack, and I said, oh, that's good. And she said, you know him? And I said, I know him, do I? And she said, yes, you do. You've heard him on the radio. I couldn't remember my dog's name half the time.
And when I came in, Chris informed me that she really wanted to go to church because there was a guest speaker that night. I said, sure, go ahead, I'm here. And that was all I knew about it at that point.
Andrew had scheduled, he'd been to our church about a year and a half ago, and he had then rescheduled to come in November. And we'd had Andrew scheduled for probably a year.
Mom took her cell phone for when I had to use the restroom because I'm close to Dad, but not that close.
I did have my cell phone with me, and it was on jiggle just in case they needed me. To go to somebody who could speak so clearly what the Word of God was such a blessing. Andrew started out and he said, you know, tonight I would like to talk to you all about grace and faith. And I thought, oh, good, here we go. Grace and faith again. And how he shared the message of grace and faith was that grace was always there. Grace is always there. And faith is the name for our response to grace. And I'd never heard faith taught like that before.
Andrew just got up, taught on healing, then he said, all right, anybody that's in pain, come up.
We stopped letting people pray for Nikki because it wasn't bearing any fruit and it was arduous for her to endure people praying for her. Just people coming in, the activity was difficult on her. So I watched Andrew.
It wasn't, you know, whether they did anything good, bad, or indifferent had nothing to do with it. It was the pure love and grace of God. I've seen some people come up and you could tell they felt like, well, I'm just not worthy. And Andrew would just talk to them and just say, no, don't do that.
I took a seat on the front row and watched the prayer line and the people go up after service when he prayed for people. And this little girl with a blonde ponytail, she was about 5 years old, walked up to Andrew just as bold. And he knelt down in front of her because he's so tall, you know. And he said, what is it you want? She said, my head hurts. And he said, well, I believe Jesus is going to heal your head because he loves you. And she said, me too. And he said, does your head hurt right now? And she said, yes. And he said, if the pain went away, would you know it? And she said, yes. And he said, well, we're going to pray right now. And so he reached up and he put his hands on her head. And, you know, he tucked his chin in prayer with his eyes closed, and she just sat there and stared at him. And he prayed the prayer of faith over her and rebuked pain in the name of Jesus. And he patted her on the head and he said, how are you feeling? And she said, good. He said, how's your head? And she said, it's all better. And she gave him a big hug and went away.
We had another lady in our church, her name was Lori, but she had... a similar condition to Nikki. Her joints were beginning to get real sore. She was at the point she couldn't do laundry. Well, Andrew prayed for her, and she was instantly healed.
When I saw him pray for people and they got instantly healed, I knew she was going to be healed. I knew. How do I know? I knew in my knower. I knew it. God had promised it. There had to be an appointed time, and tomorrow was Nikki's day.
Andrew kind of knew my vision because I'd shared with him at some of the pastors' conferences, but I'd never said anything to him about Nikki. He didn't know anything about Nikki's condition.
My phone jiggled, and my heart stopped because I knew what that meant. It meant we needed to go home. I needed to leave, but I hadn't talked to Andrew yet. And so I answered the phone, and Nikki said, "Mom, when are you coming home?" And that meant she needed me now. And I said, "Honey, give me 5 more minutes. I'm in the prayer line." "Okay, Mama." So I ran up in front of the next person in line. I just ran up there because I had no choice. I had to get home. I don't know who I cut in front of, but oh well. And I said, "Hi, Andrew. My name's Chris Oshinsky, and I have a 19-year-old daughter at home. Would you come and pray for her?"
Chris, seeing all of this, she grabbed the tape of that night, and she went home. She asked Andrew if he would come and pray for Nikki. And he said, "Well, sure." So she took the tape home that night with her, gave it to Nikki.
When she got home and she told me that my friend Miss Lori had gotten healed, I said, "Wow." And I was so happy for her. But I didn't dare say in my heart, "Maybe I'll get healed tomorrow." Because if you say it out loud, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
I said, I heard a sermon tonight, a teaching about grace and faith, and I wish I could explain it to you, but it's in my heart. It's not in my brain. I just know, though, you've got to hear the tape." And she said, "Good, Mom, I want to hear the tape."
But when he said, "Progressive miracles aren't the complete will of God," I didn't get offended because the man is anointed. And he was speaking it in love, and love does not offend people, unless there's flesh there. But I didn't get offended, but I said, I ran up to God because he just talks right back to me. And I said, "Okay, God, you told me my miracle would be progressive. And this man is saying something contrary to that. Now, where does that line up?" And he said, "Nikki, according to your faith, it was going to be a progressive miracle." And I said, "You're right, because I was afraid of being instantly healed because of where I was mentally. Even though I knew God wanted me to heal me, and I did want to be healed, don't get me wrong, but it had gone on for so long."
One of the standard conversations Nikki and I had for about 2-3 weeks before that was, "Nikki, if you can just make your legs fall off of that chair so I can see your feet hit the floor, it sure would make Dad feel good." And she'd always say, "Dad, I'm trying. I'm trying, Dad." And they never hit the floor.
Now, I knew God was going to heal her, and yet the voice of doubt was right there with me the whole time. And yet I knew God was going to heal her, and yet the voice of doubt was right there. And so here was this battle going on, and we didn't talk out loud in the morning about, "Today you're going to be healed." We just talked about what a special day this was going to be. That morning, because I had watched Andrew minister, I knew that he would ask her if she had pain in her body. And so I specifically said, "Nikki, why didn't you not take your pain medicine today?"
He came in and Nikki was laying there just, you know, totally bedridden. And I didn't say a word to Andrew about her total condition. So he really didn't know.
Our pastor knelt down at her head and Andrew knelt next to the chair.
And he said, "Hi, Nikki, my name is Andrew, and I believe you're going to get healed today." And I looked at him and I said, "I do too." And I was like, if I could have gone like that, I would have. I can't believe I just said that. But I knew I was going to be healed.
And he talked to her about the fact that, you know, God will honor your faith if you believe in a gradual healing. He'll work with that, but he can heal you right now. And of course, Nikki had seen that tape. I think she'd watched it that morning, and she said, I know he's going to heal me now. And Andrew said, okay, no problem.
He said, well, do you have any pain in your body? And the first thought in my head was, stupid question of the millennium, but you don't know, so I'll give you grace. And I was like, yeah, I think I have some pain in my body. You know, top of my head, bottom of my feet, and all everywhere in between, but we just, you know, he doesn't know.
Do you have pain in your body? If it went away, would you know it?
I thought in the back of my mind, I don't remember what it's like not to hurt. I sure hope I know what it feels like when it leaves, but I'm not sure that I will. I didn't say that out loud, but I said, oh yeah, I don't know.
Andrew is a real simple, cut and dry speaker. And so when he prays, that's how he prays. It's very simple. There's no big shouting and carrying on long, laboriously, flowery. It's what I call a cowboy prayer. It's how a cowboy would pray. Lord, thank you for healing Nikki. Thank you for your blood that you shed for her. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for loving Nikki. We rebuke pain in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Nikki, how are you feeling?
And all the pain in my body left, except for my neck right here.
Well, when she tilted her head, he said, oh, that's just the devil. He's a pain in the neck. And he reached down to pray for her neck.
Well, Andrew didn't know she fell out of the wheelchair the week before and got whiplash.
So he puts his hands on her neck. I think Chris was about to, you know, run him off, but
when he reached out to touch her, I panicked inside. I knew she was going to be healed, but inside of me, I was thinking, Lord, he's going to touch her neck. Don't let him hurt her.
So he rebuked it, and it went away. And he said, well, get up and move around and see if it's gone. And I went to get up.
Well, Nikki's laying on her back. She goes.
She just shook all over her body. Nothing was working in cooperation with anything else.
I couldn't sit up by myself. Was not a shock to me one bit. I was not surprised, but he goes, what's wrong with you?
Andrew looks over his right shoulder at me like he just stepped in something. I wanted to say that so bad. And he said, well, we just have to pray about that. That's all there is to it.
And again, he reached out that big old hand. And I cried out to God, please don't let him hurt her.
And he knelt down beside my chair and he said, well, can I pray for you? And I said, yeah, you can pray for me.
This was unusual. And she just sort of lumped up or over in the chair.
She began to cry and wail from her belly, from her innermost being, like I had never heard her cry before.
And I checked out in the spirit. But this time I walked up to Jesus and Jesus didn't walk up to me. I saw myself walking up to him. Interesting, huh? And it was like an episode of The X-Files. Don't promote that show, just saying it was like that. And he took his hands and he peeled all away my skin, layer by layer. He got all the way down to my feet, and when he got to my feet and he was like throwing away this dead skin, I felt so physically strong.
Andrew was in mid-prayer. He was imparting righteous indignation in her. He was imparting strength and life in Jesus' name. She took one hand on the covers and threw it back. She took her other arm and went straight across Andrew's chest and at the same time kicked with her feet to get those covers off.
And those little legs came swinging off of that pallet and they hit the floor.
She was shaking. She walked over. Walt was to my left. And she walked over to her daddy. And gave him a big hug.
And the whole house exploded, starting with Mom.
I was at the other end of the room screaming and jumping and just rejoicing.
That was awesome, but it felt so normal. Happened like that. I was shaking. My muscles were going, what are you doing? But I did it, and I was able to do it.
She turned around and she was headed to me. She could hear me, but she couldn't see me. And she got halfway across the living room, and Andrew and Pastor Rich were there. And she looked at Andrew and she said, and I don't want to shake anymore either.
I was mad at that point. He had prayed righteous indignation in me.
And he laughed and he put his hands on her and he said, in the name of Jesus, body, you be still. And she walked up to me and she said, oh, Mama.
Couldn't be anything better.
Nikki's twin brother, Trip, was upstairs.
I yelled out, I said, somebody go get Trip.
Next thing I knew was Dad coming running up the stairs and pounding on my door. And he said, you have to come downstairs right now. He said, you got to come see Nikki. She's healed. And I thought to myself, no way.
And he came downstairs. And when he came down, there was Nikki standing there.
I think he thought it was a dream. Really.
She was standing up just, hugging Mom. It was incredible. And then she turned around and she walked over to me and gave me a huge hug.
It was an incredible moment. And all I could do was thank God for changing our hearts that we could receive Him. Because He had to change us to receive the miracle. What a gift.
Nikki that day, she would not lay back down. She just kept standing up.
Nikki walked Andrew and Pastor Rich to the door after we had taken a picture. Because that's something our family enjoys, is taking a lot of photographs. And we had stopped doing that because you don't photograph death. You don't want to remember hands that are curled up or feet that are turned in. Or a face that has no color, or eyes that don't sparkle anymore. But those eyes were gleaming with tears of joy. And Andrew had a stunned look on his face. And I said, wait, Andrew, would you mind posing for a picture? And he said, sure, why not? And he did. I'm so glad we have a photograph of that day, because it shows the delight in her life and what a privilege it was that Andrew would be the one to bring the word of the Lord at the moment and reap the harvest.
I pray that that testimony touched you as much as it has touched me. I tell you, this has just been a tremendous blessing. We've seen a lot of people healed because they had their faith built up so strong through this testimony. And you know, not only did she get healed, but tomorrow on our program, we're going to share with you an update. 7 years later, our camera crew went back to see where Nikki is. She's now married. It's going to be a real blessing to you. And so I want to encourage you to stay tuned for tomorrow's broadcast. Now, we have not only Nikki's testimony and the update about her healing on a DVD, but we have 4 or 5 other testimonies of miraculous healings. We're going to be playing them throughout the next month or so on our program, and they're going to be a blessing to you. But you can get this Healing Journeys Volume 1 DVD as well as our teaching on God Wants You Well. Please listen as our announcer gives you that information.
Andrew's teaching titled God Wants You Well has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. Today, for the first time, we've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 brand new DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. When you order the album, we'll include a free copy of Andrew's power-packed booklet titled God Wants You Well, which is a great way to introduce this topic to someone else. The first teaching in this series is available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TI1, titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. The best way to reach us is through our website. You can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. We hope to hear from you today. After viewing the story of Nikki's healing, many people have been inspired to reach out and take their own healing just the way she did. Perhaps you've been watching this program and you'd like someone to pray with you. All of the prayer ministers who answer the telephone for Andrew Womack Ministries have been trained in the principles that Andrew teaches in God Wants You Well. They'd be glad to pray with you and help you receive all that God has for you in Jesus Christ. Call 719-635-1111, where miracles of healing happen every day.
I'd like to invite you to join me on September the 20th and the 21st in Johnson City, Tennessee. I'll be ministering at Cornerstone Church there with my good friends Barry and Ann Burns. I've been to this church a number of times, and I tell you, I just really like these people. They're doing a great work, and we always have a wonderful time there. People's lives are being changed. I'll be there on Saturday night at 7 p.m. and then Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. again. Remember, this is September the 20th through the 21st with Pastors Barry and Ann Burns at Cornerstone Church in Johnson City, Tennessee.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 20th and 21st, and in Colorado Springs on September 28th. He'll also be in Decatur, Texas, November 12th, and in Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our 25th Ministers Conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers, whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our 25th Ministers Conference.
And we'll see you there.